Could we stand and pray together for a little bit here? Let's close our eyes and get our minds wholly upon Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's in You that we live and move and have our being tonight. Hallelujah. It is in You, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thankful to You, Jesus. Thankful to You, Jesus. You're the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. You have begun a good work in us, oh God. Hallelujah. We stand yielded to You. We stand yielded to You in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. Brother Ethan Hart, would you mind grabbing a Bible? Going to Acts 2:36. Come on up here and read. Read it like you want us to understand what you're reading.
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation.
Praise God. So the Apostle Peter is communicating to a group of people who were religious in their affiliation, in their culture, and they were drawn together because of, during this holy time, God poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this was, of course, a promise which he's reiterating to them through the generations, and that the promise would be to them, to their children, and to their children's children. And so this was the beginning of the fulfillment of this, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon mankind. The evidence that is revealed here in this second chapter of Acts is that they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave to them the utterance. They yielded, they spoke out, and then they were told this is what is happening. Okay? And so, no matter what their prior experience was, whether they even fully understood what was taking place or what had just happened to them, Peter is giving a narrative that this is the birthing of the church. When the Lord had told Peter, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, he was speaking of what's being initiated right here. Spiritual. No, I'll say it this way. Pouring out of the gift of the Holy Ghost. The indwelling Spirit of God inside human beings. In other words, making his abode or becoming resident within them. we refer to this as Jesus did to Nicodemus, as the new birth experience. There were those, they were communicated to them to be baptized and that they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then we read through the book of Acts to find other instances where people were directed to be baptized. Some of them received the Holy Ghost, and then they were told, now you need to get baptized. Other times they were instructed to be baptized, and then they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right? The indwelling light, the indwelling spirit, the inspiration of God, now being operative within the lives of believers as they praised him, as they worshiped, as they prayed, as they fellowship one with another. Watch this term. There was a new energy in their experience. Now, it wasn't some hocus-pocus energy. It was this, the Spirit of God now evident in their being. There was a quickening power. They were now changed to never be the same. This is God placing members in the body as he wills. Okay. We assemble by congregations or assemblies. We assemble. The body of Christ is broad and fills through the earth. So we have association spiritually, a brotherhood, a sisterhood to like believers in other places. I'll give you a for instance. I'm on a business trip. I'm in Hong Kong. I've been in Taipei for 7 days, went to Hong Kong for 3 days. It was all business. There was nothing edifying about it. Matter of fact, it was very taxing and wearing on me, the people that I was with. And before going to Hong Kong, I had spoken to a woman who once visited the church here in Yakima years ago, Loretta Smalley. And I knew that she was teaching in a Bible school over in Hong Kong, or would be. And so I told her, I said, I will come and see you. I'm coming in a few months. I will come and see you. And so I've told this group of business associates that I'm with. Now I made a commitment. I am going to see a certain individual here. I have the address. And so I plan to go see this woman. And they said, oh, okay. They kind of brushed it off. And then we got so busy, and then traffic was so bad. They kept playing it down and saying, you know what? The traffic is so bad that time of day. We'll never make it there in time. Oh, no. I'm going. Just get us in the car. Get me across town. I'll be late. I don't care. I am going. And so one of the gentlemen put me in the car, and we drove across town and drove to this building, and the meeting place was 8 floors up, and he said, do you want me to wait for you? Like I'm going to walk in and walk back out. No. I know where the hotel's at. I will walk. Got in the elevator, went up, and looked through a window, and I saw Sister Smalley in there, and she was teaching a small group of Filipino women. And so I slipped in the back. And by this time, this trip has so wore on me. I was needing a spiritual drink. And so Sister Smalley's teaching, and she comes to the close of what she's teaching, and she says, oh, I see Brother Schoonover's walked in. When I finish, I'm going to have Brother Schoonover come up, and he's going to pray for you. And I'm thinking, I got nothing to give. I need so much. Maybe y'all have them pray for me. But she announced me and it played out that way. I went up and I began to pray for these Filipino women, and I am telling you, it was like the fountain of heaven opened up. There was such a flow, and it was like I knew these people. And I thought to myself, this is so amazing to me. I'm on the other side of the world, and yet there is a bond, a spiritual bond between me and these individuals sitting in this room that is established by an act of God's Spirit. Because I was born into the kingdom, because they were born into the kingdom, there was a spiritual connection. Okay? It's real. It's a real connection. I want to talk to you about this tonight. God is building his church in the earth. He places members in the body as he wills, according to his purpose. Now, that kind of flies in the face a little bit of the concept of entertainers. Let it say it this way, of entertaining speakers who draw crowds to come and watch, to come and listen, to come and observe. There are people that fill stadiums around our country that the entire ministries are built upon the personage of an individual. Years ago, when I met my wife, she was attending a church. It was a large assembly, ran about 700 people. And we got married. She came to Yakima with me. And it was just a year or two later that the individual who that was all built around for so long left. He got under pressure, stress, financial stress, different things, but I'm sure there was other things, but he left. And so that thing came tumbling down, in a sense, in that many of those people's relationship with God was really built on their relationship with him. And so they were lost. Not all of them. Most of them. Many were lost. He turned it over to a gentleman. That gentleman turned it over to his brother-in-law. And if you go there today and you walk into the foyer, there's racks of books. They're all the same book. And the title of the book is his name. Everything that is developed and established, you'll see his name all over the building. Wherever you are, everything is connected to his name. And so much of what we see around the world is in a similar pattern, okay, when it comes to various ministries around the world. Now let's go back to God's pattern, his principle. I think I want to go backwards through my notes here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 12. First Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Listen to this. If you've been baptized into the body of Christ, you are of me and I am of you. There is connectivity that so strong that what affects you affects me. What affects me affects you, according to the Word of God. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body? No. If the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? This is King James English, a little tough to understand sometimes. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? What is the descriptive here? This is talking about functionality of the members of the body. Every part has function. Every member has function. Again, this flies in the face of it with the idea of simply being attenders. Attenders to sessions in assemblies with speakers. If I have been born into Christ, if I have been placed in the body, I am a part of a building that's fitly framed together, a holy habitation unto God. This is the body of Christ. This is how God operates in the earth, is through his body. So there ought to be functionality in every member of the body. Now, I may not be able to describe every function or the functions of every member or every part. But it has function. It has purpose. If I've been born into his body, I have purpose. Say that with me. Let's back up a little further. If I've been born into the body, if I've been filled with his Spirit, then I have purpose. I have function. I should be operative. I'm not an attender. Don't make me an attender. I promise I won't. Verse 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts, our ugly parts, have more abundant comeliness, beauty. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. This is descriptive of the body. This is not descriptive of assemblies. My purpose is not to join an assembly. My purpose is to be birthed into his kingdom and be placed in his body. Embrace that concept in your mind. And in doing so, I will remain sensitive to God in finding or discovering my purpose or my function that brings edification to the whole, to the body. Praise God. Let's pray. In the Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. According to your purpose and your plan, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. According to your purpose and your plan. You are the empowerment, Lord. Without me, without you, I can do nothing. Without you, I am empty and undone. You are the quickening power. You are the inspiration, Father. You are the leading. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shape us, mold us. Jesus, Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. All right, I'm going to read it verse 24 still. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. What affects you affects me. What affects me affects you. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. It does not sound like it's a very competitive environment. Now you are the body. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God, verse 28, he's still talking in the same conversation here. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. It's quite a grocery list of the ministries within the body of Christ. There's a couple in that attend and are a part of the congregation in Puyallup. Every week they go and visit an elderly couple in our church there, in the congregation there. I think she does the woman's hair. They spend time with them. I've never asked them to go do that. Matter of fact, nobody's ever asked them to go do that. It's who they are in the body. It is their function. It is a part of their purpose, and so they are operative in their calling. They are fulfilled because they are faithful to their calling. They don't get fulfillment because somebody's giving them recognition for it. Now, I recognized it this past Sunday, but it's the only time I've ever done it. It just came in the inspiration of the moment. But you can know this about them. They don't do it for the applause. They know that this is a calling upon their lives, and so they have learned to, listen to this. Number one, they have begin to agree with God. And now they are cooperating with God. Sometimes I watch individuals born into the kingdom. We say, come into the church. And struggle and resist when God's trying to woo them, call them, place them according to his purpose. And I watch them as they go through this rationalizing process of why they shouldn't or why they can't. You know, it's like the invitation that went out to those, and one said, I got to prove my ox. And, oh, the other one said, oh, I got to bury my parents. And the other one said, oh, I got, you know, excuse after excuse after excuse. When the call comes, we are the call. Listen to this. Say this with me. We are the called of God. There's a calling upon our lives as believers. There is a calling upon our lives. And when we begin to cooperate with the calling, you know, God rarely calls us according to our vocation. Well, I'm a salesman. Well, I'm a housekeeper. Well, I'm a, you know, God rarely calls us according to the vocation that we've picked or ended up in or where we are right now. But because he knows and has chosen, he told one prophet, I knew you before when you were in your mother's womb. My call upon you was there before you even breathed air. This is how closely designed he has designed his building that does not have walls. Let's pray again. Could we do that? Help me to see, Father. Help me to know, Lord. Help me to know, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I hunger for this, Father. I thirst for this, my God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Help me to see it clearly, oh God. Give me clear vision, Father. In the name of Jesus. Oh, lest I just spend time. Jesus. I pray let there be an effectiveness, Father. In the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Let's go to the book of Numbers, the 12th chapter. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman which he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. They said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were on the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. I don't know how your mind operates or what you see sometimes when you read words. But I see this little powwow, you know, Miriam and Aaron are having. Bible says the Lord heard it, and it says suddenly, I see him rushing into the situation and saying, Moses, Miriam, Aaron, get over here right now. I got to say something to you. Do you think God can have attitude? Read his word. Come out, you three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. The Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. He said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Now, we reference this portion of Scripture at times when we want, you know, get everybody into place, you know, submit to leadership and things like this. Here's what I want to talk about. Moses had purpose and function, not yet in the body, but in God's purpose and plan for his people. Aaron had purpose. God had a specific plan for Aaron. Miriam had purpose. But Aaron's purpose was not Moses' purpose. For Miriam and Aaron, through their own desire, would try to enter into the place of Moses and be the oracle, be the one speaking, holding the mic, verse 8. It would have contorted the body, the people, the plan, the purpose. We can't be what we're not called to be. I don't encourage anybody to pursue a place where they're not called to be. I don't care how talented they are. I don't care how great their ambitions are. It is incumbent upon the leadership to help everybody find their place, to know with surety their place in the body. I had a scenario the other day, or actually it started a few weeks back. Every once in a while, we'll have people show up from somewhere. And oftentimes, they're just passing through. Or give it a few weeks, and they'll move on. But every once in a while, there's somebody that arrives that you know this is in God's plan. I called a young man out the other day, or again, a couple of weeks ago. There's a couple, Mark and Ina, I can't even pronounce her last name, Bocio or something to that effect. Now, they're related to the Tomiev family, which I met in the Ukraine years ago. The daughter is a Tomiev, or the wife, she's a Tomiev. But anyway, the second service that Mark attended after they moved from California, she moved from the Ukraine to Sacramento. They met down there, got married, and they moved to P Puyallup, and he went to work with his brother-in-law, Andre. And so they start attending services. And I remember the first time, and I just, you know, I got a responsibility of oversight. And so spiritually, I'm just kind of, you know, making a pass over them. And I'm not sure if I feel anything. They're just here, you know, don't know if they'll stay. But the second service, he left his seat when we were worshiping. The Holy Ghost was moving and went over to a young man who's deeply troubled. Without God, he would become a ward of the state. And this young man, Mark, came over and just began to pray for him. And God began to mightily use him as he prayed for him. Now I'm recalling, the first time he visited, he sat behind Brother Cool. And when we were worshiping, he just simply laid his hands on Brother Cool. Now, he hadn't talked to nobody. Hardly anybody knows who he is. And he just places his hands on Brother Cool and begins to pray. And Brother Cool begins to raise his hands. He comes to me later and said, "The Lord healed me." Powerful. And so now I'm kind of watching and just, you know, scanning over with my spirit. What is this? What is this? And then he comes and he's praying for this other individual. Well, here's what I recognize. I spiritually identify that. It registers with my Holy Ghost according to my responsibility. Whether anybody else in the building feels it or not, it's immaterial to me. Because of my place of responsibility. And so, this goes on long enough. I'm identifying it. Now I'm going to acknowledge it. And so I called him out. Made some comments to him publicly about this was. And so I affirmed to Mark, "You're in the will of God. The Lord has brought you here. There is purpose that you've connected to that is you're supposed to be here." I don't know that I needed to do that, but I did. I could share some things about some of you here tonight that I feel is according to God's purpose and his plan. We only want to let so much time pass. You know, we use caution, we use care, but we don't want to allow too much time to pass. Because what I've observed is a curve. People become quickened into the body of Christ. They become responsive to the leading of the Holy Ghost. Everything's fresh, everything's sensitive. And then we are instructed now. Sit down, be faithful, let us get to know you, and time passes, and time passes, and time passes, and just keep coming. And oftentimes, I see people move on. Are you where you're supposed to be? Now, I'm not going to throw the question out and say, how many here's received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I am going to tell you that's where it begins. That's your starting point. Because your whole world changes. The things that you become sensitive to change. The things that you are led by change. The things that you begin to shut out, you recognize as chaff. You don't need that in your life anymore. those things change. And so you are set on a course within the body of Christ. I don't know if I mentioned it or if I shared it here. I preached in Puyallup a couple weeks back concerning the John the Baptist. John the Baptist had been arrested, thrown in prison, and they were just waiting. They were going to behead him, or that's what would play out, you know, at the request of a young lady. He would become beheaded, but he's in prison, and there were those that come to him, followers of the Lord, and he asked the question. He said, ask the Christ, ask him, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? You got generations of people waiting. He was the promised one. He was the anointed one. He was the Christ. And he was the one. But the question out of a desperate man behind bars was, you know, he'd been through a lot. He'd been put through some things. And he was fixing to go into his deepest trial in a moment of time. And so the question is, I got my part to play. You've got your part to play. Are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? And this is what I have observed and discovered. If there are those who by plan and purpose, God has sought to establish in the kingdom and caused us to align ourselves with his calling, and we're still resisting, then there is a cry that goes out saying, are you the one? Would you agree? Would you begin to cooperate with the calling of God upon your life? Because the Lord intended to use you in reaching us. Let's pray. You are the one. Come on, you are the call. Let us come into agreement. Let us walk in cooperation with the call of God upon our lives. Let it be primary. Let it not be secondary. Let us not delay because of our vocations. Let us not delay. Let us say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. We all have known individuals and recognized and saw the call of God on their lives and saw them get distracted or caught up with their own wishes and desires. And even today, you see that calling go unfulfilled. And so whatever purpose God had for those individuals to bring an edification into the body of Christ, there is lack. There's a hole. There's an empty place. Some individuals don't survive. They don't make it back. They get so far distracted, so far delayed, things begin to break, and Oh, it's a miracle when they do. I was connected by an individual at one time that, what I mean is he, through different people, contacts, we came into company with each other, and his parents were in the ministry, and he never had anything to do with their ministry. And he struggled as a youth, and he struggled as a young adult, and he struggled into his midlife, still unresponsive to the call of God on his life. But you could tell he just decided to kind of check it out a little bit. You know, he's putting feelers just to see. Still had his guard up, still had his doors shut, but he was kind of, you know, reaching out through the crack of the window and putting feelers out. Maybe, maybe. And so we would get together. He would call and say, "Hey, can we have coffee?" Sure. So we'd go have coffee for 3 hours, and we'd talk, and sometimes it would just go in circles and circles. And he'd thank me for my time, and I'd go home, and I wouldn't hear back from him 3-4 months, maybe 5 months. And I'd get another call. "Hey, I was wondering, can you and I get together, have a cup of coffee, maybe talk?" So there were times we sat in his car for 3 hours in a parking lot. Never did go inside. And again, we would have communication. Sometimes there would be an opening, and you knew it was there, but you could also tell he was hearing, he was receiving, but he was not embracing, because he wasn't sure if he was ready to surrender. 3, 4, 5 months go by. I went on for a year. Never visited the church. But somewhere he had a confidence enough to keep calling, and did. I just knew that I was supposed to stay available. Now, there's some, I don't have the time of day for them. Might not even answer their text or their call. But by discernment, this is the importance of the gifts of God being in operation in our lives. The discernment is what continued the bond. Eventually, there was progress. Still took a couple years. Just recently, he's decided to agree with God. Just recently, he has decided to cooperate fully with the calling that's upon his life. For me, it's like talking to a different individual. After all that time, who was that guy? Where you been keeping this guy? And I see the hand of God operating. And I wonder, how many are there in the waiting? How many are there that are still just holding out a little bit? How many that are still resisting or unable to be persuaded? Yeah, it is. You are the one. It's the call of God upon your life. Let's pray. Close your eyes. In the name of Jesus. I will call for the leaders to make themselves available right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on. In the name of Jesus, be available. I want you to lay hands on a few individuals as God leads you here today. Purpose. This is your purpose. You are the one. You're the called. You're the called. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, come on. Let him give you the courage tonight. Let him give you the courage tonight. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. According to your purpose, your plan, not my will, not my way. Not my way, not my will. In the name of Jesus, empty. I walk humble before you, Father. Humble before you. True humility, in the name of Jesus. Empty of myself, undone, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wait upon you, Jesus. Show me. Order my steps. Lead me, Father. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank you, my Father. I thank you, my Father. I thank you, my God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Move the clouds aside, Father, I pray. Clear my eyes of fog. Help me to see clearly, Jesus. Help me to see clearly, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's purpose is progressive. It was the will of God for Abraham to take his son, go up to the mountain, and put him on an altar and run a knife through him. That was the will of God. The Lord told him to do that. The Lord then stopped him. And Moses came down off that mountain with his son in the will of God. The will of God changed. His purpose did not. This is why I say it is progressive. What may be the will of God now or for this particular season that you're walking in, we can accept that there can be change that comes to that. For 13 years, I attended a congregation in Yakima with Brother Leslie as the pastor, Daniel Leslie. For many years, I was involved in leading the service, singing. when I went to Puyallup, I couldn't sing anymore. I mean, I can sing, but I didn't have the ministry to lead in worship. I remember telling that to Bruce Meadows, Brother Bruce Meadows, because he knew me over here, and he came and visited in Puyallup one time, and I said, I found it so strange. It was like there was something on me to do that when I was here. But when I got over there, it's not there anymore. I do good just to sing along. The unction's not there. The anointing to sing was not there. And he said, but that was your calling there. Your calling has changed. The will of God is progressive in that aspect. What you are walking in today, the Lord may see fit, according to his purpose, to bring a change in that. But I don't find that we ever should be in the place of aspiring for a different place than what God has put us. My place in the body. Many years in that congregation, we gave endless Bible studies. There were we have the ministry of helps. What's that? Well, when the church needed to put windows on the church, we were there to put windows on the church. When it needed to be cleaned up out around the building, we were there to clean up around the building. We had a ministry, the ministry of helps. They needed Sunday school van drivers. We drove Sunday school van for 8 years. We did whatever we were asked to do in the will of God. I have to tell you, I sat on a board during that season, the youth board for the district, and there were guys, they were pretty much all pastoring little churches around. And they'd say, Schoonover, when are you going to get out and do something? It kind of kindled a little bit of something in me. It wasn't joy. And I said, why don't you call Brother Leslie and ask him what I do? Because I knew that me and my wife were sold out to just being there for the Leslies, the Meadows, at the time. And so their ministry was my ministry. I didn't know that there would ever come a change to that. It did. But it doesn't matter. We were fulfilled because we had cooperated with the call of God in our lives. Never wanted anything more. Never wanted anything different. Until God gave us a burden for something. Amen. I want to cooperate. Can you say that tonight? I want to cooperate with God. His call upon my life, I want to cooperate. I want to be in agreement. I don't want to hold anything in reserve. I don't want to hold back. Amen. God bless you. You have a baptism.
Amen. Why don't we stand together? Amen. Aren't you thankful for the word of the Lord tonight? Thankful to be a part of the body of Christ in the earth. Amen. Thankful to be a part of the body of Christ in the earth. Amen. We are members in particular. As Bishop said, his body reaches around the earth. What a beautiful thing that is. Amen. I don't know if we're the foot and the leg and the arm, or I don't know, but we're a part of the body, and I'm thankful for that tonight. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. We are going to baptize Joey tonight. What a wonderful thing. And I'm thrilled for that. I've been watching the Lord draw on this young man's life for, I guess, about 5 years now, maybe 6 years. And I've watched him, as often many do, the pull between what do I want and what does God want, and surrendering, Bishop used the word tonight, surrendering to the will of the Lord. I'm going, man, I... And sometimes, you know the story of the prodigal son in Scripture. He went out from his father's house and he ended up in a pig pen. He went through a lot of things. He ended up in, I'm not saying Joey ended up in a pig pen. Don't misunderstand me tonight. But he ended up in a pig pen before he finally, the Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, man, what am I doing here? Sometimes the Lord allows situations in our lives to where we get to a point that's so low, to where we come to the understanding, man, my only hope is to get connected to the body of Christ. I want to be where I belong. God, where do you want to place me? Amen. And I'm thankful for this opportunity tonight with Joey and what God's doing in his heart and life. We visited a little bit after men's prayer on Sunday morning, and I was marked by his story of repentance, how God's working and drawing his heart. Amen. So we're going to give him a moment to get ready. You can greet somebody, say hello if you see somebody you don't know, and then in just a few minutes we'll baptize Joey tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.